Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, please. Genesis. Galatians. I knew it started with a G. Galatians. Oh, me. Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 1. I want you to listen to me very carefully tonight. I always do, but especially tonight. I'm going to teach on the subject, the science of restoration. The science of restoration. I'm talking about the science of restoring somebody who's fallen. Verse 1, Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. I think I'll just explain one little thing to you. This is not a part of the lesson. But it says in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens. And in verse 5, it says, every man bear his own burden. Seems to be a conflict there, but there isn't. That word burden in verse 2 is not the same word for burden in verse 5. The word for burden in verse 5, every man bears his own burden, it's anything. For example, I pick up this pen. I'm bearing that. Verse 5 is anything you pick up. Now, verse number 2, bear one another's burdens, is a heavy burden. So it says, when burdens are heavy, bear each other's burdens. But these little piddling things, take care of it yourself. That's what it's saying. That's not a part of the lesson, but every once in a while somebody will ask me, why does the Bible say, bear one another's burdens? And three verses later it says, bear your own burden. It's two different words here. One meaning any kind of something you pick up, the other meaning only a heavy load. Father, we come now to teach the Word of God, and I believe tonight ought to be so important to us. I pray you'd help me to teach it like it ought to be taught, and help our people to hear it like they ought to hear it, so we can do what we ought to do concerning restoring people who've fallen. Bless our study. Amen. The Bible's again, the Galatians chapter 6. We're going to look at it, and then I'm going to teach it, and I want you to listen carefully. There's a lot of garbage going on concerning what to do with people that fall into sin. Tonight I'm going to give you exactly what the Bible has to say. Now, look at me. I do not know how many people are here tonight, but there are probably 3,000 people here in this room tonight. Some of the people in this room are going to fall. And some of the best people tonight in this room are going to fall. It's as much a part of the Christian life as illness is a part of the physical life. Now, we ought to know what to do when somebody falls. Now, when I say fall, I'm not talking about just one sin. I'm talking about whatever, into whatever weakness they fall. Doesn't matter what it is. But there are folks tonight in this room who love this church, you love me, you love this book, who 1 year from tonight will not be in this church, you'll not be in anybody's church. Somebody here is going to fall. Now, what are we supposed to do? Vote them out of the church? Not a thing in the Bible about that. Not a single thing in the Bible about that. The Bible says here, notice, now look at verse 1 there. I'm going to spend the entire time in this one verse. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now look at me. Who is it that we're restoring here? Somebody who's overtaken in a fault. Now, you can't be overtaken unless you're moving. The first thing I want you to know, this guy that fell was running. God makes no provision here for overtaking, for restoring somebody that's not worth restoring. Didn't say if a fellow is just keels over, restore such a one. No, if he's overtaken. Are you listening? That means this guy was running. This guy was moving. You can't overtake somebody. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. Brother Ray, won't you stand up here and walk slowly over there and just walk that way. Now, I overtook him. But you can't overtake somebody unless they're moving. Thank you. So this fellow was overtaken, which means he was running. Now, I want to say this, that God is concerned about restoring those that are doing something. This verse, now I'm sure that there are verses in the Bible that would teach us that we're supposed to restore people, everybody. And certainly we should try to lift everybody. But special attention is given in this verse to those who are overtaken, which means the guy was running. Second thought, the most vulnerable are those who run. Brother Ray, go over there for me, would you please, about the front row over there, between those two right there. Well, that's good. Turn around and face this way. Okay. Now, walk up here, would you please? He almost had no problem falling. No real problem. He was walking very slowly. Now, go back there again. All right, this time, I want you to run up here. All right. Now, a little more dangerous, wasn't it? He's come more likely falling. This time, I want you to go back, and I want you to run as fast as you can. He's already dropped his Bible. He's already and as fast as you can. Come on. Run. Now, that's more dangerous. I was hoping you'd fall, but okay. I should have chosen Brother Colston. Except he'd have fallen while he was standing. Now, first thing, you notice that this guy was running. He was overtaken. Now God says, I want you to restore the person that falls while he's running. He's overtaken in a fault. Secondly, I want you to notice the most vulnerable people are those who run. The faster you're moving for God, the more likely you are to stumble and fall. So God says, restore the one who is overtaken in a fault. He's running. He's most vulnerable. Now let me say this. Satan doesn't have to worry about chasing those that are not running. The best Christian is most vulnerable. See what I said? The best Christian in this room is the most vulnerable Christian in this room. Because you're running. And running is more dangerous than standing. And running is more dangerous than walking. So the best Christian in this room is the most vulnerable Christian. How many times have you heard about somebody who fell and you said, I don't believe that. No, not him. I just never thought it would happen to him. Well, that's the kind it comes near happening to those who run. I said in the first place, he was overtaken in a fall. That means he was running, and God is concerned about restoring those who run. Why should God worry about restoring somebody who's not worth anything? You're going to fix up a car that won't run? No, you're going to fix up a car so it'll run again. You're going to spend your time on a hen and won't lay any eggs? No, you're going to keep the hen that lays eggs in good shape. You're going to spend your time on a cow that won't give any milk? No, you're going to feed that cow and take care of that cow that gives milk. So God is saying here to his people, he's saying, I want you to restore people, but he said, now the main thing I'm talking about right here is I want people that are running to be restored to running again. He's not talking about restoring somebody who was standing to standing again. He's talking somebody who was running to running again. So he said, I say he was overtaken. I said, number one, the fellow was running. Number two, the most vulnerable are those who run. Number three, Satan doesn't chase those not running. And the best Christian is the most vulnerable. Which one of the disciples was it that denied the Lord three times? Tell me. Peter. And Peter was the one that was always listed first. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Philip, Bartholomew, and so forth. Then with the three inner circle, it was always Peter, James, and John. Peter, by all odds, was the best Christian in the whole world. He was running. And because he was running, the devil was after him. I'm saying, if the people the devil is after most tonight are those getting the most people saved. The bus captain that's bringing the most folks to Christ. The Sunday school teacher building the best class. The young preacher boy that's working the hardest. The young pastor who's growing the church the fastest. I'm saying the lady who's the best soul winner in the foster club. Those who run the fastest, the devil is after you the most, and that's why God said what told us what to do with those overtaken. Now, I want you to notice again. I said the guy was running. Number two, the most vulnerable are those who run. Number three, Satan doesn't chase those not running. The best Christian is the most vulnerable. Now, the word fault there is interesting. If a brethren, if man be overtaken in a fault, that word fault is an interesting word. I give it to you. It means a false step while moving. A false step while moving. God is saying, I want you to restore those that stumble who are moving. Not those that just stand there and fall over in a faint. They're not doing anything. So God said, if they're moving, and while they're moving, if they stumble, that's the one I want you to restore. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you say, oh, Brother Hiles, we had a deacon in our church, or somebody that worked in our church, and oh, he's wrecked the cause of Christ. No, he may have fallen, but thank God he was running, and the guy that was running when he fell will run again. He'll get him back up and get him back in shape. God said, he said, the worker that stumbles, spend your time on him first, because he'll work when he gets back up. It's hard to fall while standing still. Now listen carefully. Number five, the one just standing still has no right to criticize the fallen. The one standing still. You have no right in this world to criticize somebody because he's doing nothing and you're doing nothing. The only difference is he did do something. And I got more respect for him than you folks never do anything. Let me show you what I mean. Brother, go back over there again, would you please? And Brother Darrell, go back over there with him, would you? Now, Brother Ray, I want you to run, not real fast, but run. I want you to stumble about here on about the third step at the bottom, second the top here. Brother Dale, I want you to just stay there. Now, here's where some of you folks are. Okay? Well, that's the softest fall. First time I ever saw a fella fall and put a feather pillow down there to fall on. I fell over there. Start telling him what an awful guy this guy is. Hey, you gossip. Least he got to hear. Yeah. The people that do all the yakking and all the talking are the people that just stand. But God said, and by the way, he's not going to come pick him up. He's glad he fell because he was showing him up while he ran. And it gives him something to use his telephone for. So I'm saying that God said that the fellow who's standing has no right to criticize the fellow who's fallen. The truth is, if he had run like he did, he may have fallen before he got that far. So I'm saying, what did you say there, fellas? I'm saying in the first place, if the fellow was overtaken in a fault, he was running. In the second place, those who run are most vulnerable. In the third place, Satan doesn't chase those not running. He only chases those who are running. Who was more near falling a while ago? Brother Darrell or Brother Young? Brother Young. Because Brother Young was running. He was doing something. He was going somewhere. And so the devil is after him. He's going to try to trip him. You folks just standing there doing nothing. Now, your pious look on your face. Devil's not going to bother you. You're not bothering him. You bother him, he bothers you. You run, he'll try to trip you. In some ways, don't misunderstand this now, in some ways, it's an honor for the devil to try to make you fall. He is saying to you, I don't like what you're doing. That man over there is doing nothing. In fact, you're fired, Brother Moore. He's doing nothing. But the people all of this room tonight are right there. He'll come up here and he'll look at this guy that's fallen. He don't run. Criticize him. Gossip about him. Want to vote him out of the church. All across America, you got a bunch of these churches, and I won't call any names of the groups unless you look like you don't want me to. But all across America, you got a bunch of these so-called deeper life churches, interdenominational, most of them interdenominational churches, and you got a bunch of these sanctimonious people, churches never win anybody to Christ, never have an altar call, never give a red-hot invitation, never have a mourner's bench, never have a sawdust trail, don't know what it is to have an old-fashioned Holy Ghost service, and if somebody in their place falls, then let's have a meeting and vote him out. What we ought to do is just vote the whole mess out and close the doors of the church. We'd be a lot better off. My Bible said, Jesus said in 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And my Bible said, if one falls, is overtaken, if a guy's running and doing something for God and building a bus route and bringing folks down the aisle and getting people saved and building a Sunday school class, my Bible said, if he falls while he's running, restore him. Thank you, fellas. I said, number one, the guy was running. I said, number two, the most vulnerable are those who run. I said, number three, Satan doesn't chase those who are not running. I said, best Christian is the most vulnerable. I said, number four, it's hard to fall while standing still. I'll promise you this. You take the fundamental preachers in America, now listen to me carefully, you take the fundamental, soul-winning, hellfire and brimstone preachers in America, and I'll promise you, for every one attack these little deeper life pussyfooters will get from the devil, the fundamental preachers will get a dozen. Why? Because the devil is after the fundamental preacher. Why should the devil be after the First Presbyterian Church pastor down here? They haven't got any church going on tonight. Why should the devil be after the First Methodist Church down here? All they do is play bingo. I mean, he's not going to bother them, but he's going to bother the fire out of you guys. I just can't believe that somebody from the staff of Howells Anderson College could have fallen into such deep sin. Well, read your Bible, sweetheart. I'm saying the devil's after that kind. Now, that means this. That means you better watch it. And that means the harder you work for God, the more you better watch it. And the more you grow in grace and the more you do for God, the more you better watch it. Just because you mature in the Lord, don't put your guard down, put your guard up more. I said, number five, the one standing, one just standing, has no right to criticize the fallen. Number six, the standing one has done nothing. The one overtaken has done something. It's an old illustration. I've used it three or four times through these years. I was in Salisbury, Maryland, on the eastern shores. They let me borrow a car, and I was driving down the street in the afternoon, and I came to a corner here. I stopped at a stoplight, and across catty corner over here were two lots. And on those lots, there were two slabs of houses. One slab was a house that had never been built. It was obvious that somebody started it, didn't have money, couldn't get it financed or something, had never been built. One slab was a house that was obvious that it had been burned. You could see the charred remains, you could see the smoke damage on the foundation and so forth, and you could even see some ashes. So it's side by side, two house slabs, foundation slab, just almost exactly alike, except one had never been used and one had been used. And I got out of my car, walked over there, I said, there's the Christian world right there. There are thousands and millions of people in this world who've never done a single thing for God but criticize those that got burned. But that house that was burned, somebody did live there for a while.
Somebody slept in that bedroom for a while, and I walked over there, and I looked at that bedroom, and I said, that bedroom, how somebody for a while, somebody slept in that bedroom, and nobody slept in that one that never did a thing. And somebody ate in that kitchen and cooked in that kitchen, the one that got burned, but the one that never was built, nobody ate in that kitchen, and somebody stayed in this living room of the one that got burned, but nobody stayed in that one. And we got a bunch of Christians in America, never done a thing for God. You just got saved, and the foundation of Christ is laid. But all you do is criticize people that used to do something for God who've fallen. I'll say it again. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so fell? What I say is, oh, did you hear about so-and-so never rose? I'm not condoning falling. I am not. I'm condoning it more than people who've never done anything for God. It says, he that is overtaken. Said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, restore such an one. The word restore is a very interesting word. The word restore means mend. Mend. Mend him. Now, if I had a hole in this sock, I'd simply say to Ms. Hiles, hey, babe, sew the stupid thing up. And after I got it sewed up, I could wear the sock, but it wouldn't be as good as it was before. But I still could wear it. Now, if the hole was up here somewhere, I probably wouldn't wear it to church. But I could wear it when I mow the yard. I mow it every millennium. But I could wear it to lounge around in. The sock could still be used. Now, you wouldn't want to wear it to a wedding or some dress occasion. Now, this person who was running, and he stumbles because he's running. Hear that? He stumbles because he's running. And the Bible says, mend him. Illustration. A dear beloved preacher friend of mine who had a wonderful ministry for years, built some great churches, fell. I picked up the phone and I called him. And I sent him and his wife. He was a pastor. He resigned his church, of course. And for 6 months, I kept them fed. I sent the money every month. And I don't mean a little bit. I mean, I sent them $1,000 a month for 6 months to keep them fed. You say you fed a fallen man? I can beat that. Jesus got to him before I did. These things write I on you that sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And that word advocate means someone to run to his side and pick him up. As soon as I could get the guy to talk to me a little bit, I flew him and his wife to Chicago. Got him a motel, gave him a little second honeymoon, talked to him for hours. I said to him, I don't think you ought to ever pastor again. Notice, I'm going to mend the sock, but not wear it to the dressy place. I said, I think after a while you can prove yourself, and in some capacity I think God can still use you in full-time service. In some place sort of out of the way. I mean, I don't mean the church. I don't mean pastoring. I'm talking about in some, what word do I want? Some place that's not a very visible place. But I said, God can use you. And I want to say this again. There's not, the man doesn't live who say that God can't use in some way. And if you ever get to the place where God can't use you, he'll take you on to heaven. And if God hasn't taken you to heaven, you're still his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. A man that's fallen and gets back up can visit a hospital, can he? A man that's fallen and gets back up can feed the poor, can't he? A man that's fallen and gets back up can go out and tell someone about Jesus, can't he? A man that's fallen and gets back up could pass an offering plate, couldn't he? If any man be overtaken in a fault, that means he's running, and while running, he has a mishap because the devil's after him. The one who's spiritual. Oh. Then these folks want to vote him out, not the spiritual giants they think they are. These that look down their snoots at him. And my Bible says you better be careful because you might be taken to overcome with the same temptation. I had a man in this church who was a deacon. 25 years ago. Now we don't have any deacons who've been divorced. and we won't. It's a rule. I'm not saying I can prove it's I can prove that when it says a deacon be husband of one wife, he's talking about bigamy or divorce or marriage. I don't know, but we just don't choose deacons who've been divorced. With me, it's a precaution, extra care. But this one deacon, he was on a crusade about it. I mean, brother, if anybody had been to, it was even to, anybody was divorced, God can't use them. God can't use them. It wasn't one day we had a big row about it. He said, "You got people singing in the choir. You got folks that are ushering who've been divorced." Within 6 months, that guy had run off with some little old gal in his neighborhood, divorced his wife. Now, I'm saying, you better be careful before you look down your pharisaical snoot and wrap your phylacteries around your backslidden breast. You better be careful, because the same devil that's after the fellow that fell, he's still after you too. And especially if you begin to run. He's after those who run. I said he's after those that run. Now I'm going to say it. I have more respect for the one who ran and fell than for the one who never ran. Now you put me in whatever bin you want to put me in. Call me whatever you want to call me. I got more respect for the fellow that's running the race down, running as fast as he can, trying to win the race, and all of a sudden he stumbles. I got more respect for him than the guy on the sidelines never even run a race. But I want to say this, if you're running, be careful. If you're running, be careful. The devil's after the runner. I'm not condoning falling. I don't want you to fall. I want you to be careful. I want you young people especially to be careful. I don't want you to fall. I want you to take care. I want you to guard yourself. I want you not to stumble and fall. But if you do stumble and fall, you're still my kids. Now to the restoration. The scripture is not to the standing who have fallen. I'm sure God wants us to restore the standing who's fallen, but that's not what this verse talks about. Go back over there again, Brother Ray and Brother Darrell. Now, Brother Ray, when I give you the signal, I want you to run up here again and fall like you did. Well, fall a little more. Fall like a man. And Brother Dale, the minute he falls, I want you just heel over there. Okay? Now, what's God saying here? God is saying, this is the guy you ought to get back up first. Now, if he hadn't have fallen, I'd gone over to him. But when they fall at the same time, you're going to just say, I'm not coming to see you for a while. You're not doing anything anyhow. But I'm going to do what I can. Pick this guy back up. He's asleep now. Pick this guy back up. I'm going to dust him off. I'm going to pray with him. I'm going to help him. And I'm going to, because I know this guy will run. I'm trying to find a runner, not a stander. My Bible doesn't say, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and the sin which thus easily beset us and stand still. It says, run the race. Says run the race. I'm going to find a runner. Now, don't misunderstand me. Somebody's going to criticize me for this, but you go right ahead. God is interested in getting his work done. And though this man, no doubt, will never be able to do what he could have done had he not fallen, there is still something he can do. There are people all over this room tonight who can't be what you could have been, but praise God, you can still be something. If a bunch of Pharisees would do what the Bible says, mend him. Mend him. Thank you, fellas. Mend him. I said, not the standing. The restoration is not here. It's not for the standing who've fallen. Restoration here is commanded to restore the running. And by the way, the word restore there, if you'll check that, I checked it today in my Greek New Testament. I checked it today in two different lexicons. I checked it today in my Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, but I checked it also from the West... Oh, it's Cotton Horn. Yeah. I checked it in my Textus Receptus, Greek. And the word restore here is not aorist. It's linear. It doesn't say restore him one time. It is in the durative, which means you keep on restoring him as many times he falls. It's exactly what it means. If any man is overtaken in a fault, let those who are spiritual restore and restore and restore and restore and restore. Well, I'll tell you, the guy has fallen so much, I've lost all confidence in him. Okay, lose confidence if you want to, but you're supposed to still keep trying to restore him, trying to mend him. He won't run as fast as he could, but he'll still run. And it may be, and by the way, I know folks who've fallen a half dozen times that move faster than some folks never have fallen. But of course, these guys that haven't fallen, they can't run anyway. They're too busy talking. You can't run and talk on the telephone at the same time. You can't run and gossip at the same time. You ever see anybody run a 100-yard dash gossiping at each other? Boy, I mean, straining an intestine. Did you hear what happened? You won't do that. No, sir. Because we need him up is why God wants us to restore him. We need him up. I said to this preacher mentioned a while ago, I flew him and his wife out here. I said to him, we need you in the battle. He said, after what I've done? Yes, I said, what you've done. He said, you think my church ought to call me again? I said, no, I don't think that. But I said, there are other parts in the battle. If you can't be in the Air Force, you might be in the infantry. If you can't be in the infantry, you might be in the Quartermaster Corps. Can't be in a Quartermaster Corps, you might be a cook in the kitchen. But there's something you can do. Now here's the sad thing is this. The fellow who's fallen sometimes thinks he, when he's mended, that he hadn't forfeited anything. And the fellow that hasn't fallen thinks the fellow that has fallen when he's mended is not worth anything. But the honest truth is he is worth something. And it's our job to mend him. Well, if he ever gets back up, we'll use him. Bible said, pick him up. Well, if he ever gets his house in order, we'll use him. Bible said, you clean his house for him. If he gets his act together, we'll use him. You get his act together and you help him get his act together. We've been here 35 years. In 35 years, with thousands and thousands of people that have come through this place, like any other warfare, there are going to be some casualties. They're just going to be. There are people in this room who have been casualties. And they are no longer able to do what they used to do. But I want to tell you this. Some of those people who cannot do what they used to do are so valuable to me. Did you know, if you fall and get back up, you can still pray? If you fall and get back up, you know, you still could go to the rescue mission and try to help somebody else that's fallen. And there's nobody that can quite help the fallen like the fallen. In the first place, you understand them more. You won't be the Pharisee. You've been there. You understand. But in the second place, you know how you got up and you'll know how to get them up. Why mend someone that was of no use? And if mended, will be of no use. Jesus said to Peter, when thou art converted, what in the world is he talking about? Peter got saved way back yonder. When thou art converted, why? Because he's going to deny the faith, deny the Lord, deny the church. Cock's going to crow. He's denied the Lord 3 times. 50 days later, as the old Dr. Rice used to say, Peter was standing on the back end of a pickup truck, Ford pickup, on a corner of Main and Nackert Street in Jerusalem. Preaching, and 3,000 people walked out and got saved. Well, you say, Brother Howes, you think he should pastor a church? He wasn't pastoring. He's preaching from a pickup. That woman at Cy Carswell did a pretty good job of evangelism. I'm saying God wants to salvage everything out of every Christian that he can. I'm not saying that you don't forfeit something when you fall. But I am saying that you won't hit the ground before Jesus is running after you. My little children, these things write I on you that you sin not. And I stand here and say, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. The devil's a liar. He's a cheat. He's a fake. He's a fraud. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. But as soon as I heard you did it, I'm going to run as fast as I can, try to pick you up. But guess who's going to be there already? Jesus is going to be there already. If any man be overtaken, don't forget that we're overtaken. Never heard this my life like this. Never. Never written a book. Overtaken. Man's running. He's overtaken. Let the spiritual one vote him out of the church. Better still, before he does that, let him call and tell everybody about it. Let the spiritual one mend him. Why mend him? He's a runner. But if a guy is just standing there like Daryl Moore, God pity his wicked soul. If a guy is just standing there like Daryl Moore, there's nothing in this scripture says to mend him. Now I think we should. After we get the runner mended. Ask a question. If you're a platoon sergeant in the army and you're fighting a battle, and you got a guy, boy, that he's a good soldier and he fights real hard and man, he really gets with it. And you got another guy that's in the brig because he's a gold brick. If they both get injured in battle, which one are you going to go to first? You going to go to the brig and get the gold brick? No, sir. You're going to get the guy that can get in the battle. You're going to get the guy that has been doing it because you know if you get him back up on his feet, he'll do it again. So if any man is overtaken in a fault, that means he stumbles while running. Ye which are spiritual, restore, mend him. Now one last thing. In the spirit of meekness. And that word meekness means you're no better than he is. It's exactly what it means. And you don't look down at him. Everybody fall down here again. You don't have to run, just fall down here. All right, I'm gonna mend him now. You better feel better, I guess. I hope you do. Hope you're proud of yourself. I bring him up here on my level. The word meek means evenness. On my level, he's my friend, and I'm proud of him, and I'm going to use him some way to serve God. Thank you. You say, I don't believe that. You better believe it, or half the people in this room wouldn't be here tonight. You'd have a hard time finding a family been in this church for 10 years. While the preacher had to try to help somebody in that family get back up. And I'm talking about my family, too. I'm saying we're all human beings. And if we stay together all through these years, there are times when somebody in your family is going to fall, and we're not supposed to spend our time running them down or chase them off, or we go off and forsake them. Brother, we're a family. I don't want to say what I'm going to say right now. When I was a young man, I used to preach this. I used to say, when Dave was a little boy, I used to say, if the day comes, and God forbid that my boy ever makes a horrible mistake and falls, if the day ever comes, that little boy in the nursery, I said it was in the nursery, if the day ever comes, makes a horrible mistake and falls, he's still my boy. And I'm not going to disown him. I've had the opportunity in my life to live what I used to preach. I saw him yesterday. He's directing the soul winning program at a church. Brought 9 people himself down the aisle last Sunday professing faith in Christ. He'll never pastor again. But he's mended. Well, I bet he falls again. If he does, I'm going to try to pick him up again. And what I've done for mine, I've also done for yours. And I plan to keep on doing it. Especially if a man's overtaken. 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 By a fault. That means he was running. He was doing something for God. And so we've been here for all these years. It's been your family today, and mine tomorrow, and somebody else's the next day. But that's what this church is. It's a spiritual hospital. Check over sometime and look what God said to Ezekiel when he indicted the prophets, the false prophets, and the pastors that weren't doing their job. He said, you've not lifted up the fallen. You've not healed that which is broken. You've not brought back that which was driven away. God is simple. And by the way, who's it going to be next? We don't know. Who will it be next? We don't know who's going to be next. We have no idea. But whoever it is, more than likely was running because the devil tried to trip the runner. But wherever it is, wherever you are right now, wherever you are, I want you to know, come to see me. Call me. I want to help you. When you fall and you hear that you're carrying a baby in your womb and you're not married and you're a teenage girl, you come to see me. If you don't believe me, you ask the folks who have. And Brother Howell's going to pick you up. And Brother Howell's going to try to mend you. And Brother Howell's going to try to see to it that God can still use you. Maybe not like he could have, but God can still use you. Let's spend our lives in Bible Christianity, winning everybody to Christ we can. And then when one who's running stumbles and falls, those who are spiritual, mend him. Get him back on his feet. He may never run like he used to run. Dr. Billings said, I can't walk. Both knees broken. I can't walk. But he said, I still can crawl. I still can crawl. It may be that you have broken your chances to do anything, ever run again, but you can still crawl. You can still crawl. And so when the time comes, when the word gets around, oh, did you hear? Yeah, I heard. And everybody else will hear when you get through with it too, ma'am or sir. Most women gossips are male. But when you hear it happen, That's the person you ought to be the friendliest to. We belong to the same body here. Part of my body starts aching. I don't get a knife and cut it off. Oh, I got an ingrown toenail. What? Boy, I pamper that thing. I get me a knife and try to raise that thing out. It won't do it, and that stuff starts oozing out. I baby that thing. I cut the toe out of my shoe. Why? A part of my body doesn't feel well. And it gets all the attention for a lot of the time. When a part of our body falls because it's running, let's give it attention. And let's do all we can to get it back up and mend the one overtaken in a fault. So maybe he can run again. Shall we stand?